Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul. I got to cut him off before he can do anything there. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Scott. We always do a quick run through what we're doing. I'm currently playing Kador.
Oh, yeah? You're back on the Kador
Well, train. I got some stuff for you to paint, so I can't play, you know.
You don't have all the cool toys for Signar yet.
No, it's got to be finished and stuff, so that's why I'm like, nope, going to jump back over to Kador. He's got Greg paints my Signar and my Trolls. So when I want to play those things, I buy new things that I want to play, and I give it to Greg, and then he puts it on a shelf, and then I've just got to harass him for it over and over and over
Greg's
and over
just
again.
Too busy right now.
Yeah, and Greg's got like three jobs. And a wife that's nagging him to do more jobs. So he's just like, I don't have time to paint. So
no money.
I've now started painting my Signar to a level where I can give it to Greg. And then he just finishes it.
Yeah.
And then it's faster that way. So we'll see how that works out.
So has there been a change in priority then? We're no longer wanting Dozer and Smeg. It's more Signar stuff.
I guess Signar first. Because basically it's going to be like 2018 Trolls. Because all the Northkin comes out. So I'll buy the Northkin box, and then I can live the dream and have all that kind of fun
live
stuff.
Live the dream.
So currently on my painting table, as I look over to my left, is a metric ton of trenchers.
Did I bring in...
I don't remember seeing you bring anything in.
Oh, maybe I left it in my car then.
And then maybe Greg brought Brickhouse and the Trench Buster so I can get them painted too. Because I have an airbrush, and now I paint all the things. So I have like the base coat done, and then I go through and I just add like the base colors, and then I give it back to Greg, and he does the magic
I do the magic, yes.
The magic of making it all look the same. But that's on my painting table. And the Devil
Dogs. And you're playing Kador.
And I'm playing Kador, yes.
And you're playing Sorsha?
I've got a Sorsha 1 list. It's in Winterguard, which I never normally do because I lose all my games when I put her in Winterguard. But I want to run double
wagons?
Fun carriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually ordered all the pieces off of the interwebs to make my new war wagon or fun carriage a tank.
Okay. It's going to have treads and shit?
Yep.
All right. And the horse is just going to be like... riding on top or something?
No, the horses will become something else.
Okay.
I don't know.
They'll do impact attacks with treads or something.
Yeah, whatever. Right? They're running over bad, whatever. It looks awesome.
Hey, it works for me. That's how tanks attack in 40K now. They have an attack characteristic and they just grind you with their tracks or something.
Which would hurt.
Yeah. It would hurt.
Yes.
But if you're like a giant two-story monster, it's like annoying on your toes or something. Anyway, I'm Greg and I'm playing Circle and the new theme dropped recently, the Call of the Wild, and I'm definitely playing that. It looks fucking baller. And I played two games with Kaya 3, loved it. And I've got lists made for Chromac 2 and Chromac 1 that I'm very eager to try.
Wasn't the Chromac 1 a challenge laid down by Pagani?
It was.
Did I catch that on the Facebook?
It wasn't so much I guess it was a challenge because he said master Chromac 1 and master the faction, right? That's how you unlock Circle. And I can see it. And we'll talk about it later when we get to WTC and Crick's problems and stuff like that. But he sort of sketched out a list in Call of the Wild that was like really interesting and probably something that nobody would ever think of. And he left out a good chunk of points so you can kind of personalize it or something like that. But it's got a lot of the tools that I think you need specifically for the Crick's matchup. But I'm hoping that it has wider play than that, but I'm super excited to play it.
Yeah, yes.
And on my painting table is a bunch of Signar shit, apparently.
Well, it still hasn't left my table yet, but yes,
yeah.
It will become your table.
Yeah, for myself, I bought a fourth World Warden, but that'll probably happen in like a few months or something like that. And I assembled my second unit of Mist Riders, and I'll get around to that eventually as well. I think I'm not really looking at playing two max units, but two min units I think could definitely be a thing.
Oh, yeah. I think I have two... min units of Ulyanis, so I could do something with that, but no, yeah. Sorsha 1, baby.
Going
back to my
girl. On the hype train.
What is she? She's on the hype train?
Oh, she's cool. I think she's terrifying.
She's as soon as like Mark 3 dropped, I kind of just was playing her. I like really liked her.
Oh, yeah.
I felt my games are like nail-biting,
yeah,
but it's exciting because it's like, oh my god, I'm losing. Wait a minute, are you within 17?
And then I just zip in and smack you with my frost hammer and you're dead.
Feet frozen, your charge, whatever, and it's like, I can get anywhere. And I like those kind of games.
I've actually gained that additional die on frozen models is like crazy.
Yeah, that's
oh
good
my god, so good. So what are we talking about today?
First thing we're going to start off with was the WTC results.
Which this is going to be a very general type of... We're not going to get super specific because we're hoping to have a couple of the Canadian WTC members on to discuss more specifics.
Talking about you, John Fares and Jeremy McClure.
Yeah.
Maybe even Tim Banky if he'll grace us.
Yeah, exactly. So a big thing that kind of like jumped out to everybody when the results kind of came in is Crix was kicking some major fucking ass.
We're going to jump right to the Crix. So yep. What I saw on the interwebs was the after you factor out the mirror matches, the quick, I don't know if it was specifically to Ghostly, but the Crix win ratio was 71%.
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, I'm pulling up the stats here, but
which is
there was
insane.
There was nothing under 50%.
Yeah, that's why I say their average when you factor out the mirror matches.
Yeah,
it was 71%.
Yeah, and so. some of them are like terrifying, like 100% win ratio against minions. I mean, it's only six games, but right, that yeah. basically says minions is G fucked against Crix. Menoth 76% and Circle 76%, which is like shocking because when we looked at the original list and stuff like that, I mean, people kind of think of Circle as like a
Crix answer,
but we'll talk about how I think they dropped the ball on that in terms of their list building and stuff like that. And also an 87.5% win ratio against Trolls and an 81% win ratio against Retribution. I mean, this is a team event, so you have to kind of take that into consideration. So you're going to have players that are not really teched to play against Crix, and they might get fed into the grinder. But it's still hugely apparent that Crix was dominating that meta and was a big factor in terms of the pairing process and what like that. Let's look at the best casters showing with over five games played. And I just wanted to sort of talk about the top 10. Out of that top 10, we got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Crix casters in the top 10.
Wow.
So, and probably like some of the most alarming ones are like Coven with a 76% win ratio, 60 wins and 19 losses. Denny One didn't even hit that. She only hit 65% with 79 wins and 42 losses. But we can kind of talk specifically about the nature of the Crix pair at this current juncture and how that influences the list selection process and how that benefits
even the team building, right? Like we were talking about that because one of our Canadian teams that went over there decided not to take Ghost Fleet.
Yeah.
They took Double Kador, Legion. What else was on there? I don't remember now. Legion, Kador, Signar, and Mercs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they did well.
They did well. They finished sixth. Got yes. nothing to say. Congratulations, boys. It was awesome. And then my first question was, why didn't you take Ghost Fleet? Like, you clearly didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah.
So and you didn't even have it, right? So it's one of those.
I didn't look at the top teams. I haven't had a chance to look at the top teams to see their team composition and stuff like that to know if some of the top teams or the top team had a double Crix
yeah.
component or something like that. But I think WTC players, I think everybody, to be honest, underestimated the influence that Crix was going to have on the list matching and stuff. For like sure. That.
I mean, a lot of people were like, Kador's the boogeyman. Like, you know, you got to be able to deal with all this Kador stuff. And yep. then in the end, it was like, did you have an answer for Crix? Not only one answer.
I'm pretty sure Crix deals with Kador just fine.
Yeah. You needed like two or three people in your team to be able to handle Crix.
Yes. Or to be Crix.
Or to be Crix. But then yeah. you have Crix on Crix. And then how does that, you know, does that become 50-50? Like,
possibly, yeah.
Ghost Fleet on Ghost Fleet.
I'm sure that the other team doesn't really want to drop a mirror on Crix as well. Well,
that's the thing. It's because of the team situation. Like, that means you're going to get one win with that one and one with that one. So you start off
1-1 yeah,
one kind of thing, right? So then the next out of the three games becomes so important.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think when we were kind of looking at the team compositions and stuff like that, we were thinking from a team standpoint, I didn't really confirm this with anybody who actually played on WTC teams, but Grimkin and Circle were thought to be the Crix answers,
right?
The Crix solutions, and that certainly didn't work out for the Circle players.
Well, yeah,
they got demolished.
To get that matchup would be so hard, like
especially if you only have one Circle player on your team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Unless they offer up Crix first, because mm-hmm. you know the old way that the teams were built, you'd offer up Crix, they would give their Crix answer.
Yeah.
You pick the best one the Crix can play, and then you pick all the way through. And at the end you have two Crix again.
Yes.
You know, and you offer up your last Crix and you're like,
yeah, if you're better that way. You were talking about a heavily weighted Crix team,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah. And that was like, you know, last year, the year before, or I guess not last year, because Crix was beat up pretty good, but the year before.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't have the stuff that was going on. So let's talk about the Crix makeup and what's sort of working for them right now. We'll get around to talking about whether or not we think it needs to be adjusted or nerfed or something like that. But let's talk about what they have, what they're bringing to the table currently. So Generally, I mean, this is not true across the board, but it's definitely the majority are sporting like Denny One Ghost Fleet, right?
Yeah.
Which asks a very difficult question, heavy recursion, incorporeal, huge armor swing.
7 points.
Yeah. It's baller. So that asks a very specific question. And that's certainly the one that's like in the forefront of everybody's mind in terms of what they need to counter. But in general, I mean, there's the odd off one or something like that, but Coven Ghost Fleet or Coven Dark Host, Dank yeah. Host. I'm called Dank Host because it's the best name. Coven Dank Host. And that actually asks like a much different question in a lot of ways, right? Especially the Coven Dank Host is very harsh. And I mean, there's also some Scar Dank Host as well. And that is another completely different question. I've played yeah. against that and it jams super effectively.
Is that the one with the riders?
It can be the one with the riders, yeah. Or I've even played against Fabio's with like double wraith engine and stuff like that. So it can be a very problematic question. So I think what really works for them is that they come to the table and they can see, does the person have a Ghost Fleet answer, right? And if they do, they can be like, okay, do I next step this and drop Coven Dank Host?
Because they're going to probably have to drop the Ghost Fleet answer, right? That's the list chicken, right?
Yeah. Like, it is kind of a list chicken situation, but I think the initiative lies in the Crix player's hand, right? Because I think even if you have a Ghost Fleet answer, there's still game for Ghost Fleet.
Yeah, it's not like a guaranteed win. You don't have...
I don't think there's anything out there that just auto wins against Ghost Fleet. There's still a game to be played. But if they pick their Ghost Fleet answer... And a lot of the like specific Ghost Fleet answers don't necessarily address
Dank Host.
Yeah. We're calling it Dank Host.
Okay, you can call it what you want.
Doesn't really address that all that effectively, especially in Circle. I mean, Circle kind of relies heavily on Wormwood for RFP, and he does that magnificently. But all the Ghostly and the armor cracking and stuff like that is a huge issue for Wormwood. It negates a lot of his control factors. I mean, he can still block line of sight, and he can still try to stranglehold stuff and whatnot, but that can be extremely difficult if the opponent's playing, like, Scar 1 Dank Host and just jams the fuck out of you with armor bazillion stuff. And it can feel an awful lot like the Kador Jack Spam, where you just choke on it, right? And yeah. then lose on scenario or get obliterated. Your choice, right? So it's not necessarily that... that Wormwood is the ideal answer. And I can't blame WTC Circle players for thinking that. I can kind of think that, like, it's not something that I've explored extensively because I think I've only played like recent Crix 5 times. And
my Crix game is very low.
Yeah. And it's not, we only have like probably a couple of really good Crix players in the Southern Ontario meta. And so out of those 5 games, I won 4 of them. And they were difficult games, challenging games and stuff like that. And only the one recently that I played against Fabio, where he played Coven with all the cavalry and stuff like that. And I had to go second and just got jammed the fuck out of the scenario, was extremely challenging. So I can't really, in one hand, I can't really blame the Circle players for thinking Wormwood was the answer. And on the other hand, I sort of think maybe they should have meta tested it a bit more and like play tested it a bit, I suppose. But it certainly surprised them. Right. And so there's a bit of a way to go. There's a bit of a feeling in the Circle community that, oh my God, do we have an answer for Crix? If Wormwood can't handle it, then what the F, WTF, right? And I mean, it depends an awful lot on the quality of the Crix player. And obviously when you're going to WTC, you're playing some really good Crix players, right? But I've beaten Dark Host with Baldur 1, and that's extremely difficult because you don't have a feat in that matchup for a lot of all intents and purposes.
I was going to go there. I was like, no, just let it go.
No. Yeah. So that's sort of the Circle one. And there's also that Una component. And when we play tested it one night, I play tested it with one of the WTC players. And I talked about it with a couple other ones, and we sort of identified it as maybe a Kador answer potentially. And I thought, it may be a half decent Crix answer because it does have a lot of infantry removal ability, right? But obviously that didn't pan out at all, right? Because either the recursion was too much or the fact that, sure, you can't be shot, but you can still be parasited and crippling grafts all to hell, right? That can be a problem. And a lot of the Una lists I think there was one that had three units of Blood Weavers. But there wasn't, I mean, besides the battle group, there wasn't an over-reliance on stealth, but that's something that you want into Ghostly, because the guns don't ignore the stealth. But, I mean, to Dankos, it's a completely different story, you know. So, and Coven is extremely good at manufacturing the Alpha Strike. So if you have to eat that, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. So that's the Circle side. On the Grimkin side, I don't know exactly how Grimkin did in terms of, and I'm not even exactly sure. Is the Grimkin RFP effects, are those melee oriented? I mean, neither of us are particularly well versed on Grimkin, right?
I think it would be, they're primarily a melee faction. So they do have some guns, but I think it's.
They actually had a decent result. I mean, comparatively, a decent result versus Krix. There wasn't nearly as many games played, which is, you know, not good to determining the overall effectiveness. But they had 7 games played, 3 wins, 4 losses, and like a 43% win ratio. So that's not terribly good either. And I think that what I've found, especially into Ghost Fleet, is that melee RFP is not effective because
Ghost Fleet... You have to get to melee first.
Yeah, Ghost Fleet is really good at getting alphas, and it's really good at shooting as well, right? So if you can just shoot all your melee RFP dead or shut it down with Crippling Grasp or something like that, then it's not going to be terribly effective. So I think in terms of like that meta, the WTC teams were looking in the wrong spots for Krix answers. I don't think they've found the effective ones, I suppose. Do you have any thoughts on the matter?
No.
No. So anyways, on the sorry, you have something to say?
Well, just like, it's interesting, like I said, 71% win ratio for Krix. So right away, you know what happens. People are saying it's got to be nerfed. It's not right. Something's wrong here.
Yeah. Before I guess we can talk about that now.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure. No. What I'm going to say is directly related to that. So what's your gut reaction?
Well,
being a Krix player,
it's fun again because I mean, Ghost Fleet was released. Everybody whined about it. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And then all of a sudden, it was like again, Pagani slowly released. Like you should try this. And you should try this. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my god, this is amazing.
It's kind of shocking in a way that for some of these powerhouse themes and stuff like that, that the meta is so reluctant to experiment to a point to make it work that it takes him coming in and whispering in somebody's ear.
Even Mark II, it was the same thing with EE when I was released. It was like a good 6 months or something.
Oh, before anybody
was like, hey, let's spam all these lights. Like,
yeah. But it wasn't like a case where a developer or a designer.
Nobody was helping them along. No. It was just released. Nobody
I think that's fine. It might have taken 6 months for the meta for the community to click into Ghost Fleet and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think I would have preferred that.
I don't know. Like, I'm not calling for it to be nerfed. I mean, I play Kador. I'm going to lose. No, I'm going to lose. Like, and I know this, and I'm fine with it.
What you got to do? You got to crack out that Man of War theme.
Still going to lose.
I don't know what the other theme is, but there might be solutions there. I think Kador players have been sort of high on the hog a little bit. They have some amazing themes that work fantastically into certain factions, and they've been relying heavily on that, and they're very reluctant to kind of step away from that comfort zone and try some crazy shit, which is important.
Malarian says, Incorporeal needs to be fixed. It's too big of a skew. I wish they would change it to something like +3 defense against non-magical weapons. So he thinks it's the Incorporeal part of the list
that's breaking it. I don't
think it is either. I mean, the recursion is so amazing where you're getting 1+D3.
It's something where any of the individual components are not a big deal, but when combined, it becomes an enormous issue. And that's just Ghost Fleet. Like I said, I think there are half decent solutions to Ghost Fleet. The problem is the list picking situation and the matchmaking process being in the Krix players' hands, right? And I don't necessarily think that. Are you keeping an eye on it? People are tick tacking away.
Oh, that's fine.
I think people are, like I said, a little reluctant to try stuff outside of their comfort zone. I'll just bring this up. I was going to mention it earlier, but one of the American WTC players posted something on the Circle Facebook group about, you know, Circle results against Krix, 24% win ratio, no problem here or something like that, right? Kind of indicating that,
again, it's such a...
All the teching with Wormwood and Una didn't come to any fruition or something like that. And I was thinking, well, you're kind of looking in the wrong direction. And then Pagani posted something. Somebody directly asked him, what would you do, right? And he said, Chromac won. That guy's baller, right? And I mean, it's Pagani, so people are respecting that. But the general, you could tell the general reaction was like, really? But he posted the contents of a list, right? I don't know if, I think we talked about this before, yeah. So it was the bulk of the list, right? Like maybe 20 points were missing or something like that, that you could sort of kind of build to put together. And I think it would be a great ghost fleet answer. And part of what people make it reluctant to look at it effectively is because there's no RFP, right? So you think, oh, there's no RFP, you can't play into ghost fleet or whatever, right? But he does have bestial, so that makes Denny's job fucking lame as hell, right? She's basically a walking feet at that point. He can be very resilient to the range attacks, and I mean, he was making it in the new theme, the Call of the Wild theme, and he put in a shield guard and smoke gobbers. And the smoke gobbers are there primarily because they're not effective against the guns, but they're primarily there, I think, to proc prowl on the stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
So if the stalkers are stealth and bestial is up, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah,
right.
That's
and if you have warpath, wild aggression, and berserk, you can chew through a ton of freaking dudes, right? So I think there's something there. And once again, I don't want to say like this is the Crix answer or something, but it's very compelling. And it's sort of something that I think War Machine players in general and Circle players have to stop focusing on the RFP component. It's important. It can be cool.
Again, if they can bring back up to 4, but you can kill 8...
Fuck, if you can kill 12, 13, you know what I mean?
That far ahead, you can still win it.
And especially if those models they're bringing back are not contributing significantly because you're
the further back
able to go in there with the stalkers. You're sprinting for free with this theme too, right? So they just have sprint. So you go in and you murder a bunch of dudes and then you sprint back into some concealment or something like that. I guess it's going to take judicious use of berserk over prowl to making sure you can do stuff, but I think even if you cannot land Parasite or Crippling Grasp on a target, how are you going to kill those stalkers with like POW 13 gunshots?
Yeah. You're going to tickle them for how many turns?
Yeah. While they murder you. So there's something there. And obviously it's not like, oh, this is the super counter or something like that. There's play that's required, right? And skill that's required. And now how does it play into Dankhost? I don't know. It certainly has a lot of infantry removal options there. But and I don't think Coven is all that excited about playing into bestial as well. They like to shoot some spells and stuff, right?
Colin says P. Morvey eats Crix Ghost Fleet.
I haven't played it, obviously, but I kind of, you know, agree there's something there.
Patrick agreed.
Her ranged RFP is great into Ghost Fleet. The question is, can she play into Dankhost? That's the mitigating factor of any Ghost Fleet answer is, can it play into their off list, which currently is Dankhost, right? I think it's actually the situation in the meta is going to change in terms of Circle's favor into the Crix matchup if Crix players start playing Black Industries or one of the other themes or something like that as a pair to Ghost Fleet or something like that, right? Because I don't give a shit if I can't shoot Crix Jacks. It's not a big deal to me. I'm going to punch them in the face, kill them, right?
Patrick also says changing Ghost Fleet to being only able to take undead casters would be the fairest nerf to Fleet. You don't see Denny 1 playing in any other list right now.
I've heard that. I've heard that too. And that does sound like a fair adjustment. But I don't know. I guess I'm reluctant to... I feel really old school about War Machine, where the changes came, you know, glacially slow. So I'm like kind of okay with waiting for the meta to develop a little bit more. And I think with the really, I almost think that you can't change anything until all these
themes are released.
Every faction has 5 themes and stuff like that, because right now the issue, I think, is Dankhost and Ghost Fleet combination. And that may change because I guess it won't change. I mean, WTC certainly indicated that there wasn't any faction weaknesses to that particular pairing, right?
Well, it's funny because if you like Mark II, we had... Like Crix was always dominant. You always took a Crix list. Yeah, to fight Crix. That was it. And then it kind of went away, Mark III. We kind of forgot about it.
We got lazy.
It was like, oh, I got to take a Caterer list. Oh, these stupid ponies. Oh, we need to take a Signar list. But in like Mark II, everything was almost had like a dodge. So Crix didn't want to play Signar.
No.
Because they're going to lose.
They weren't that crazy about playing Legion either.
Right.
I guess, no, that's not true. By the end
Scar of was two, fine. Scar yeah, was Scar fine, was yes. like, I got this. Yeah. And then, you know, they all had their little dodges, but it seems like that's gone. Crix is not dodging.
Right.
There's Nick. When I played Crix, I was like, I don't want to play Circle.
Right.
I can't play Bradagus. Like, yeah, yeah. I needed to dodge that. It was ugly.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything that was a good, you know, 50-50.
Yeah.
I was always 30-70 unless you made a mistake.
Sure.
Right? And that's how I capitalize. Otherwise, I'm going to lose. But now, Ghost Fleet, and, you know, there's probably more interest for Dark Host than Ghost Fleet, but they don't have dodges.
Right.
Which, maybe these themes are going to help. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, see, like, I think Kador hard dodges.
Like, I agree. As a list pairing, they don't have a dodge. But as a list, Ghost Fleet has stuff it doesn't really want to play into.
Right.
But that's what the off list is for. Right?
Exactly.
So does Crix need to be nerfed? I don't know.
I, like you said, I think it's too early to tell. I think we got to let it play out. We need these other themes to drop. We need to experiment. You need to play the crap out of your faction and just stop asking for nerfs.
Yep.
And stop asking for your faction to go into CID unless you're trolls. Because it's so sad.
Or minions. You can cry if you want if you're a minions player. I totally commiserate with you because you're not really a faction. I agree, but I still, like what Patrick said about making Ghost Fleet more specific to casters makes sense thematically.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me that Denny is leading like an undead pirate host at all. Like Terminus, yeah, totally. That's what he does, right? That's his thing. So yeah, I can kind of see that. I think that's actually a really fair way. And I think actually Crix players might not complain that much either, because they're probably at a point. I always hate it when my faction is like, well, I have to play this because it's fucking broken as shit, right? I don't like that. I don't like being pigeonholed into playing something.
I mean, I have Ghost Fleet. I own it. It's sitting there.
You got to finish painting and then it'll be fucking nerfed.
Well, it's whatever. Again, that's what happens to me anyways. But I mean, like, I could be playing it now. All I just got to do is mark the bases differently and I can play it.
Yeah.
Like, and paint it slowly or whatever and go out and win tournaments or whatever. But that's also, I don't know, my mindset's different now.
Yeah.
I'd rather play what I enjoy, like you were saying. Like, sure, I could play it and win, but that's not always fun. I want to play, like, I love Sorsha. She's so fun. Yeah. Like I said, my game, sometimes I'm just hanging on by the seat of my pants. Sure. I'm like, oh God, this is going to pucker up on that one.
You like having that thing in your back pocket where it's like, I can still win this game.
Yeah, I'm like, it's always an option.
Yeah, I can understand that. See, I don't know if you want to talk too much more about the WTC result. I think it was important to kind of address the Crix question.
Well, we should talk about maybe the finishing. We didn't even mention who won what and everything. And
oh, yeah, for sure. I don't even know. Was it with the Germans who got first?
Yeah, I had it up here, and now it's gone now. Oh, wait, it's because it's not.
Oh, something I did want to mention or talk about briefly because it's hilarious is the worst caster showing with over 5 games.
Okay.
So I thought there were some interesting ones in the top 10. So I was kind of like, oh, that's actually very interesting. I thought that was a good caster. But obviously, in this particular meta, it was not. So Helena was the top worst with 11 games played and 0 wins.
Oh.
She got demolished. I guess what, Rhett? Ringing armor. Not really your thing. Not to say she's not bad, but I guess in this particular meta, right, you can easily drop armor crackers into that type of thing. Vlad 3, I didn't even know people were playing Vlad 3, but I imagine it's like the ponies and stuff like that. The 0 win percentage as well with 7 games played. Caliban, and this I think is telling just because of the stats of losses to Crix, and Caliban was kind of being touted by the minion community as being like the Ghost Fleet answer or whatever, right? So 6 losses to Crix, Caliban has 6 losses and 1 win.
Oh.
So he won against something, but it wasn't Crix.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm thinking, right? And then there's Ossian, who's had a huge fall from grace with only 1 win and 6 losses as well. And one of my favorites is Sloane with 3 wins and 15 losses.
Wow.
I mean, part
such
of the,
a fall from grace, like
part of that I think can be attributed to the style of terrain that the WTC was using. There was big terrain.
Oh yeah. It was huge.
Big terrain.
Yeah. A lot of LOS, a lot of line of sight blocking and everything.
Yeah, and I'm sure that works against her as well. I mean, in ideal circumstances, she can be a monster, but she's...
With all the recent updates, is she still the monster she could be?
I don't think so. I don't think she kind of brings the same thing that this, even, say, Kane 3 brings to the table. I think
the Hunters lost their advanced deployment. Yeah. They went down a point, but, I mean, there was just...
Yeah, I think maybe Sloane players are playing her wrong. I think she actually wants to bring a more balanced army, or just enlist in terms of bringing a solid shooting battle group, but she also wants those other components that can help her stay in scenario and fight in melee when required, right? So I think over-reliance on the guns is probably a failing of hers. So those are the ones that I thought were like, oh, that's really funny. Funny, I mean, not funny, but interesting, I suppose. So, all right, are you, anything else to say about WTC or how broken Crix is and how they need to be destroyed?
No.
I'm happy because Crix is back, to be honest.
I'm trying to
The things, the epilepsy or the perplexness that it's going to put into like something like Kador and Signar and stuff like that is like just amazing as far as I'm concerned in terms of altering the meta to my benefit, I suppose. Yeah. So is there anything else?
No, I'm looking at the wrong information. So
we're moving on.
We're moving on. That's it for WTC. Oh, Patrick's asking, any news on when TGX 2018 is? It's the same weekend as last year, buddy. It's going to be July 20th.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the same place.
We're going to get a rematch, Patrick.
It's going to be at the same place as the OTC is.
Yeah.
So go to the website. Stay tuned. I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm excited. This time I'm staying over.
Oh, you got it. Like, it was so much fun now. I mean, I guess I did stay over, but
I wasn't prepared to stay over.
Yeah. Greg decides, was it Friday or was it Saturday?
It was Friday.
You said Friday. So Friday,
it was Friday at 11 at night.
Yeah. He's like, hey, let's just get a hotel room and crash here. Yeah. Dave's like, what? We didn't bring anything. He's like, ah, whatever. Tim Bakey hears, you guys are getting a room?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. So no toothbrush, no change of clothes, no nothing. They were a little rank the next day.
Yeah. I had a TGX cert to change into.
Very true. Yeah. You were going to talk about the new solo in War Room.
Oh, yeah. What's his name again? Elias Garrity something. Yes, so this model is only currently available if you buy, what's the thing called, No Quarter Prime now?
That's the new magazine.
Right, and if I understand it correctly, you can either order that.
If you pre-order it and have it delivered to your house.
But they also have it in store?
If you go to the store, you can get the first release. So as long as you're getting the first run, it'll have the model.
Okay, well if they have that at the store, I'm okay getting that. I'll give you some money for that, because this guy looks pretty bonkers good. I mean... And I say that because I have two themes that allow me to take minions. Oh, yeah.
See, it's funny, like before you tell what he does, I'm going to say what I think they should have done.
Okay.
So, I mean, when he was first released, he was bonkers. But they made it so that he was usable for everybody.
Yes.
Because they want everybody to buy their magazine. It's just a ploy to sell magazines. Whatever. They're a business. I understand that. Sell your magazines. I got it.
Yeah. He even works for Crucible Guard.
It works for everything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What I thought they should have done, they should have done a War Machine one. Just for War Machine, issue one.
Okay.
Issue two, Hordes.
Oh, so you're disappointed that they didn't push it further.
No,
right?
I think that would have been, instead of trying to balance that guy through every faction, because that was some of the issues they were having. That's why he was in CID for a while. They were oh, that's broken. Oh, got to change this. Oh, the week, no, when day two, got to like, change this. Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
he's the new Gorman.
It was just like, oh, this is amazing. So like they just, I just felt like they should have made it more specific to the two games. Because they're, you know, War Machine and Hordes.
There can be a little bit of the grass is greener thing though, if there's difference in abilities and stuff like that, right? Where Hordes players are like, oh, the War Machine lies so much better because he has Dark Shroud or something. Right?
Whatever. That doesn't matter. People are always going to whine. Look, I'm whining and they didn't do it. So people are whining. They weren't
duplicitous enough about it, right?
Exactly. All right. So give us the deal.
I'm going to get it though. If they have it at X, get it for me.
All right.
Because it looks very interesting.
I mean, I'll probably get it too, just because then it's whatever. I have them in case I need them.
I like to have options when I'm playing my circle. So he is speed 6. Mat 5, Rat 5, Defense 13, Armor 14 with a Command of 5. And his Command is very relevant. He's character, obviously, and he's point cost 5, which is pretty damn pricey. Mm. But
unless you get him for free in a theme.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But that won't happen for Circle. You get other shit for 3, but not the minion solos. So he works for everybody, pretty much. I don't see anybody that's... No, he does work for Crix, too. Why? I guess they don't have any themes that allow you to take Merc solos, though, currently. So, he has all these really cool abilities. Elish. Ooh, he's Elish 1. Maybe it's pronounced Elish? Arcane Void. When a model in this model's command range, which is 5, is targeted by an enemy spell, the enemy spellcaster immediately suffers D3 damage. If the enemy spellcaster is destroyed as a result of this damage, the spell does not take effect. I really like that ability, because you can be like, what's his name, Ron, or something like that. If he's got his mittens, it's just like,
yeah,
Mitch just can't do it, right?
The little guys can't, no.
He has to go in and like TK or kill Elish or something like that. So, it's important to note that he has like zero defensive tech except for this one ability, Gatewalker. Once per activation, immediately after this model casts a spell, you can place this model anywhere completely within 5 inches of its current location. So the only thing that stops this guy getting killed is his distance from the enemy. So use him judiciously. He's magic ability 6.
He does have a cool ability though.
He's got some great abilities. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. So his first one is a star attack called Bleed. Lots of people have it. Tanith has it. I think Gorshade has it in one of his incarnations. So it's range 8, POW 10, magical attack. When bleed damages a living enemy model, this model can remove D3 damage points. And this is relevant to another ability, the ability to heal.
That's the one I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. He also has Puppet Master, which is fucking amazing. I want this in Circle. So Puppet Master is a range 10 spell, and you get to reroll an attacker damage roll. So that can be any type
all
of attacker
dice, damage not just one.
All the dice, yes, exactly. And it is also a potential offensive spell, so you can pop it and then make somebody reroll some shit if they're looking for a crit or whatever, who knows.
That's a little harder to do because you have to hit.
Have to hit with your magic 6, but...
But, yeah, we'll leads get to, us we'll into the that. Next part. Oh.
Well, he's got one more spell he can cast. Spell. Okay. He has Unbinding, which is, I want this. Enemy upkeep spells on model's units within 5 inches of this model expire. Models suffer D3 damage points for each of those spells that they controlled. Amazing. That's I want good. It. Get yeah. rid of Crippling Grasp, because currently there's no poor. Way in my faction to get rid of it.
Poor Junior.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, you do have to get Elish within 5 inches of the storm wall without him being
that's
dead.
True. That's true.
I mean, he's speed 6, so you can stay at a pod range, I suppose, but still, doing that. I guess if you're playing something like Kruger or whatever, that might be a lot easier to TK him around and stuff. And then he has this really cool ability, which synergizes well with Bleed and all his offensive spells and stuff like that. It's called Mental Force. This model can use Mental Force at the beginning of each attack, right? If it chooses to do so, all attack and damage rolls resulting from the attack are boosted. After the attack is resolved, I'm feeling a little pasty. I'm kind of coming off smacky. Right? this model suffers D3 damage points. So that works well with Bleed. I mean, you can't use it the same turn as you bleed somebody, but Bleed can become a way to heal back damage from Mental Force. It's also important to note he does not have a melee attack or a range attack, so
he can't charge up.
Yeah, maybe I'm too close to the mic. He can't use Mental Force to go punking people unless he's using Bleed or something like that. Then he's got a tactical tip about magic ability special actions or special attacks count as casting a spell. So he can, even if he Puppet Masters, he can use Gatewalker to pop back.
Nemo 1. He can cast a spell and I get a power token. Yay!
You do.
All the Nemo 1 tech.
Can you use him in themes? Not currently, right?
Not currently, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'm kind of excited for him. There is Unbinding and Puppet Master in Circle. Sounds amazing. And we're kind of talking about that in terms of the, what's that new Legion unit? 3 models.
I don't know.
I think currently in CID they had like Puppet Master or something like that. There was a lot of people that were kind of underwhelmed by that. But I was talking to Jeremy, who's like, I have like a limited number of attacks that I can produce. Having Puppet Master on them might be very important.
Because now you don't have to boost that hit.
Or even just you go into an assassination or something like that. You can fix your dice fail. So that can be an important factor, right? I think he's like, how can I use this with Kallus? Not that he'll be playing Kallus for a while. I think he's a little tired after like whatever it was, 70 games of that bastard.
Is that how many he played?
Oh yeah. So... are any of your factions super excited for this guy?
Nope.
Okay.
And maybe Crix, because can Crix? I don't. Nope. I think right now, nope. Nope. No. Hard no.
Yeah. I think for Circle, it's exciting because we have 2 themes that allow minion solos in them. So there are options there. 5 points, a little pricey, but he brings a ton of freaking utility.
But again, he's going to be free because it'll be themed.
He's not you can't take minion solos for free.
Oh.
Either theme.
You take something else for free and then take him. You would have paid for the other thing.
Sort of, yeah.
He's still free.
There's still some free points involved there. I mean, it does take points away from whatever is contributing to free points, but he's super exciting. I don't know what other factions... Is there currently any other factions that can take Merc or Minion solos besides Mercenaries?
I think the Troll one that's coming up.
has that option as well.
I thought so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that at some point all the factions will have themes that can, will allow you to take Mercury Minion solos in them. For sure. So, are minions excited about this? I don't know, sure. Are mercs excited about this? I think so. I mean, between, like, what's his pants? The Rogue Inquisitor dude? What's his name? Orin. Orin and this guy, you got some, like, serious anti-magic ability, right?
Because I mean, which it's maybe like, it's like answer to Ghostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people have been looking at, like I said, looking at it the wrong way. I don't, maybe not. I mean, I haven't really had a ton of games into Ghost Fleet because I have played Ghost Fleet once, and every time I run into Crix, they drop Dankhost, right? Because it's better into Circle. So I think maybe the RFP, even though obviously it's an important component for winning against Ghost Fleet, I think it's been overly fixated against, possibly. Certainly didn't work for Caliban.
No, poor Caliban. And Jonah had said earlier that Sevi 2 tech was supposed to be a Ghost Fleet answer.
Obviously not.
And 10 out of the 11 games he lost.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that didn't work out so good.
That can possibly be practice or something. I mean, I only witnessed one game, I think. Fabio played Josh into Sevi 2, Denny into Sevi 2, and it was not one-sided by any means in Sevi 2's favor at all. So yeah. I can see that that's definitely a failing as well. And I think that once again, that's maybe an over fixation on the RFP component.
Okay. So that brings us to Facebook questions.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
That sounds good.
If you're watching live, it's hard to read as you guys are posting. Go to the Facebook section that I posted and you can put questions on there and then we can answer them.
Scott doesn't want to touch his phone because it'll fall over.
I don't care about that. They're talking about the World Ender in Guelph on October 7th. Because all these people are going to.
Is that October 7th?
Yeah.
In Guelph.
Yeah.
I should go to that.
I think it's also Thanksgiving weekend.
Is it? I don't fucking care, but my wife probably does.
Don't forget, we also got the team event at X on the 21st. That's the blind doubles.
Oh, fuck, man. So many choices.
So many things. I'm going to the blind doubles because I gotta play that.
Right.
Okay, so anyways, if you go to the Facebook thing, I have a post there. You can see the picture of our wonderful mixer. And it says about to record another podcast, anything you want covered. Questions for us, post it now. So go and post them now. We can get to them. Kind of funny because we're talking about it anyways. Wade Carter wants to know, he's like, Pharaoh, what do you think they need to be competitive and what would you like to see from them? Seeing how he used to play Pharaoh, you can answer that.
I think the Valkyries are going to make them for sure. No, I don't
know. Aren't they getting a giant? Aren't they getting a?
They're getting a Dracodile, but that's not the Pharaoh. That's the.
Oh, that's right.
What Pharaoh need to be competitive? A giant pig,
definitely. Franken piggy,
for sure. What do they need to be competitive? You know, I don't know because we are talking about minions here, and it's no longer Pharaoh.
Yeah,
gators. You can mix and match, right?
But not fully, right? Because you can't have a gator or take pigs. Like a gator caster can take pigs.
They can't take pig beasts.
Right.
But they can take pig solos and units. Stuff,
So they're kind of blended, but at the same time, they're still separate.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's a tough one because they're cool. They're funny. They're funny. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
you're saying that they're designed as comic relief, so don't expect them to be competitive.
They're the orcs of 40K.
I suppose.
Right? Like, orcs are funny. Everything they do is funny. Like,
yeah.
Their names are funny. Go faster, red.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all humorous. And I think that's kind of where it started. It's like somebody's side project, probably. Whatever made him laugh, he turned into a model and people bought it. Now, years later, they're like, now we got to make these things good.
Right.
So I personally don't know. I mean, does it need to go into CID and have a Scorn Christmas?
Scorn's already having a Christmas with it, right?
Well, that's what I mean, because they went into CID and they got better.
Scorn's already like, we can use the Dracodile. Fuck you, pigs.
Because if you want to make the Pharaoh better, play Scorn.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I don't know if he's specifically talking about Pharaoh Warcasters, because that's kind of the issue right now, is that people are playing Gatorman Warcasters and Gatorman Beasts, because the feats, the spells, the damage output, the deliverability, and the quality of the war beasts is better in that side of the faction. What can you do to Pharaoh? I mean, I love Helga. I think she's amazing, right? But I'm gonna say this like diplomatically and say that Pharaoh is a high skill faction.
They have to be unlocked. You need a JVM of Pharaoh to show you how to do it.
Not going to happen anytime soon.
Because I'm sure without JVM, Legion would be like, we need to be in CID. Oh, everything is broken. Oh, we can't fix it. This we can't. And then JVM goes and wins everything he plays.
Exactly. And they're like, okay, maybe the problem's me.
Yeah. So like all of a sudden it becomes self-reflection. It's like, oh God.
So yeah, if we're talking about minions, he's asking specifically what they need. Like
he just says, what do they need to be competitive?
So his assumption is that something's missing.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. More reach warbeasts would be a definite benefit, but
everybody would like that.
Everybody would like that.
Maybe more. Faster warbeasts, because I mean those warthogs, they're slow. They're
speed four. No, they're not actually. They're speed five now.
Oh, so they had to get a little buff.
They're from when I was playing them, they got a hell of a lot better, right? But I
still guess, not there.
I mean, when I look at a warthog, I get a little jealous as a circle player because it's 15 points for one thing, right? It's got three initials. It's speed five. It can just hurt itself to be POW 18 as well. So it's a bit of a beat stick.
I got a metric ton of Pharaoh over there to give away at the OTC this year, people.
That's right. What you need to do is you need to come play OTC and win some Pharaoh dudes.
You can win a whole bunch painted by Greg.
Right. So yeah, what do they need?
Okay, clearly we don't know.
I think Midas is in a really sad spot, to be honest. I mean, in terms of a caster, he lost a lot with his theme, having a free war beast and stuff like that.
Here's a good one. Adam Williams. Why do people in the community always call for a nerf instead of trying to find a solution? That's a really, I don't even know how we can answer that, because it's just something that's happening with people.
I honestly think, and this may be just my personal perspective, is that people that don't play the game as much ask for nerfs. And people that play the game more look for solutions.
Yeah,
and that's not to say anything bad against people that don't play the game as much. It's just that they have sometimes less time to play.
Yeah,
and they don't want to come out to Wednesday, Thursday night, or whenever the fuck they play, and sit down and get demolished by the same guy playing the same list all the time.
Right? Well, I've done that when we go Wednesday nights when the WTC guys were showing up trying to get practice, and I was playing my trolls. And, they'd be like, "Hey, do you want to have a game?" I was like, "No." Like, what do you mean? I'm like, "Look, I'm just gonna be helping your ego. You're gonna push my shit in. There's no point in us having this game."
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I will go play this noob over here and we'll have some fun.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, so Zach Barkley, he's asking, what are your thoughts on Company of Iron? Anybody got list mates?
What is Company of Iron?
Okay, so Greg is out of the...
Oh, no, is that the skirmish game?
Yes.
Okay. I tried watching the live gameplay with, I think it was Hungerford and the guy who made it or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was it kept giving me errors and bumping me out of it and stuff like that. So I was like, fuck it.
So from what I understand, it's a very small version of the game. So far, there's no large bases, but apparently that will be coming in no quarters. They'll be adding more rules in as it comes along.
Yeah.
But there's no war. Right now, there's no large bases, no warcasters.
Right.
So
that turns you off.
The whole thing about War Machine for me is I love the big stompy robots and beasts, and I like my warcasters.
Yes.
So this game has less draw for me. I mean, if the rules were just given away for free or something and then I could just try it out quickly or something, that's fine. But I don't know. I don't see it grabbing me. I mean, I wanted to play the gargantuan wrestling game, but I never even came across
They weren't really supporting it strongly, I guess. I mean,
I don't know. Did they release it in no quarter? Like, I don't even remember I haven't been buying no quarter, so I probably just missed it altogether.
They're trying to fix that problem, I guess, by putting these cool things in you want to check out, right?
Jonah Purgens. I can never get your name. Jonah's always commenting and I love it because he's always there. But he says, when can we expect a Ghostly Coven Denny 1 nerf?
Are we asking about that again?
No, I'm just reading the questions. They ask him, I'm reading them in an order. Jonah, we kind of covered this. And according to Pagani, he's letting time go by so that we have a chance to solve it ourselves.
Yep.
And then I don't think you're going to see Ghostly change from... what I hear, they're going to probably just maybe tweak Denny 1 a little bit, which scares me because it's going to be a PP double nerf, double tap where they kill her into the ground because that's what they do.
They're not going to do that.
They've done it every time.
No, they didn't.
Don't get
me started. Still totally functional. Anyways, I was going to say something about this. Oh, yeah, we talked about it earlier. We think all the themes got to come out and then give it a little bit of time to decide whether or not. Just to get quickly back to the minions thing, I did think of something that I think minions do need to become more competitive.
I totally moved on from this.
I know, but I think more themes. Because currently, if you're playing a Pharaoh Warcaster, you have one theme.
Okay.
If you're playing a Gatorman Warcaster, you have one theme.
Right. Maybe they could get like a bacon theme where, you know, they get to...
Everybody eats each other.
And they, or the piggy humping theme, and they keep multiplying as they're out there. That's right.
I mean, the theme doesn't look that bad to me. It certainly looks a hell of a lot better than when I was playing them. But it's more restrictive as well, right? Because you can't mix and match with the Gatorman units and stuff like that. So it's very restrictive. And I think if you had like three themes to choose from for each of them, then you got more to work with there.
Steven Camper would like to know, which caster / warlock are the best targets to dark horse your local tournament scene?
Ooh, fancy.
So that one's a little tougher to answer because, our local tournament scene then makes it maybe easy for us to answer this way. But for yours, it's a little harder. I mean...
Depends on what people are playing. Yeah,
you got to know what's out there and what it can answer or what questions it can ask, right?
If you want a totally dark horse, then go on the internet and find out what people are saying is the worst caster in the faction and play that. It worked for Dan Yout when he went to ATC and killed people with Mosar all the time, right? Didn't work for him at WTC, but ATC, it worked out fine. Although I think he won his Mosar games and lost his Wyrmwind games.
It's always good to you got to play what you like, right? Like, that's part of it.
Yeah, it has to.
And then you got to play the crap out of it. You can't just take a caster to try to dark horse it and not know the caster inside and out.
And you also have, there has to be something about that caster that techs against what's going to be in the meta. Like, yeah. There's no...
If you know who's showing up, what they're playing, that caster has to be able to play against that. So
yeah.
Some things to consider.
Yeah, and whatever the makeup of the list is, right? Because, I mean, that can be a big changing factor. Should we go over our factions and just sort of say what we think a Dark Horse caster is, or do you think there's any point to that?
Well, I think it's tough depending on meta, right?
Like, sure.
I'm trying to think.
I think if you're playing Circle, Chromac 1, Chromac 2, Kaya 1. I don't even think Mosar is much of a Dark Horse anymore, mainly because of Dan's work with them, I guess.
I play against you so much that I don't think any of them are dark horses anymore.
No, I play them all.
Because you play everything. I'm just like, oh my God.
Morvana 1. Morvana 1 is still probably a dark horse, but she's going to probably get a more competitive play with the new themes and the focus on RFP and stuff like that.
Kurt Lintner, can you guys upload pictures of your shoes?
Shit.
Yes, I will post pictures of my shoes.
All of them?
Both of them. We'll put our shoes side by side for you. All
there
right?
You go. And I think I only own like three pairs of shoes.
Colin Sharkey says, why don't I see Scott playing tournaments? Is he too good to kick my ass?
No. I had this thought, Colin, that the next time that I play you, that I was going to give you a little pep talk.
Oh, like, yeah.
Colin, you're good. You can beat me. No, I'm serious. Like, that's something, I don't know if I've written articles about it or not, but confidence is a huge, huge component of winning games of War Machine. If you sit down at the table and you're like, oh, I'm playing Scott Tallarico, I don't stand a chance here. Nobody says that, but let's pretend. then you're really not going to have any success, right? You have to believe that you can beat that individual. And I mean, I think I've played Jake three times or something, and he's an extremely confident player, and he has every reason to be.
Oh, for sure.
But he's an extremely confident player. And I played other players, I can't remember the dude's name that was playing Abby or whatnot. But he was confident, even I was playing Una 2, Broken Shit, right? And he was confident even to the point that I was like face stuffing him, right? And he made it like a tight game of it when it probably shouldn't have been, right? And it was mostly due to his inability to cave in and realize that he had lost, right?
I, for me, I'm married with a kid, man. I have to pick my battles and which tournaments I can go to. So, like, there's a World Ender on October 7th. Mm-hmm. So far, people have been asking us to change the date because there's a War Machine weekend qualifier in Michigan or something.
In Michigan,
yeah, I know. It's like whatever.
I can imagine.
I think you should just have the game anyways. Who cares?
Some of those people that want War Machine points.
Yeah, and there's also a Black Knight tournament at the same time. But I mean, there's so many stores, it's hard to get weekends for everybody, right? So
there's a tournament on at Black Knight that same weekend.
That same weekend, yeah.
Might be a good time to try to go get a ticket.
See, that's why I was like, you should, well, it's not. It's only for points.
Oh, it's only for points. Oh, yeah. Well, good time to go get some points.
Yeah. So I'm playing October 21st, Colin. So come out for the blind doubles.
Oh, the blind doubles is gonna be a blast, Colin. You should come.
I can't wait. It's gonna be so funny because like we've run it through. I think on the podcast, we basically get paired up blindly again with your opponent or with your partner.
Yeah, it's 35 points.
Yeah, 35 points. You can't double feat. So if you feat, your partner can't until the next turn or whatever. So you can't stack them, which will alleviate some of the brokenness. You do activate together, so that'll keep the time moving pretty fast. But then the next round, you're split up. And if you won your round, you're paired up with a loser. And then that'll continue on throughout the day. So if by some fluke you're 4-0 when you're, or 3-0 when you're playing your last game, your partner's 0-3. Like, I mean, there could be a potential where everybody in the whole place is 2-2. Like, yeah, it no, could happen. Sure. Right. So, sure. But it's going to be funny because it makes it harder for you to make it through, and it makes it, you know, and that means some of the,
I think it's just going to, it's not going to be about making it.
No, it's not. Playing it's games totally, and totally going to yeah, just yeah. be fun. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's a fantastic idea for a format. I'm totally looking forward to it. I mean, see if I can swing both.
Yeah. That'd be right. Cesar Sanchez. Ooh, that's is awesome, there babe. A complexity creep in the game? Mark 2 removed complexity from Mark 1 yeah. and Mark 3 added more complexity.
I have a question for Mr. Sanchez. Is he related to Rick?
Or Dirty?
No, Rick Sanchez.
I don't know who Rick Sanchez
is. Rick and Morty.
No.
His last name is Sanchez.
I watch a couple episodes, but I'm not that into it. I don't know everything.
Anyways, complexity. Whoa. I don't actually think they took out a ton of complexity. I think just removing morale checks was like...
That's the yeah, take it. Removing some complexity. Yeah, yeah. Enormous. I mean, they tried to streamline the power attacks, like the throws and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then you can't charge room models. You can't. Power attack
was the goal models. Was the goal to remove complexity though? Was
that ever I don't think that ever was the goal. No,
no, I don't think so
either. Well, they did say they were streamlining the game.
Yes, so. Which they are definitely not doing. Because if they were, the Covenant wouldn't be as fucking strange and weird as they are. I still don't understand that. I was like playing Fabio, and I'm like, so who's the origin of the spell? Who are we measuring range from? It's like the witch casts it, but you measure from the ball. I'm like, I don't fucking understand. How can you keep that straight in your head?
Yeah,
he's no, like he's like more I'm gonna, complex. I'm gonna thing. Ghost. I'm gonna ghost walk these dudes, and I'm like, yeah, but they're like 10 inches away from the ball. How are you doing that? Let me see that card. I want to read that again. Yeah.
The weird thing about it is like you hit the ball, you do 15 damage, and they're whatever camping six. He's like, I'll spend 3.
Yeah,
and get no rid damage. Of all of it. You're yeah. like, what? So I'm like, yeah. How did this make it through? Like, so it doesn't matter. Like, I need like. 5, 6, I probably need like 7 high quality attacks
they're to probably, they're probably start... one of the most resilient casters yeah, in the game.
That's pretty crazy.
When they're on camp.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's I, if like... you can get to the ball. I mean, it's not even yeah. easy to do that.
So. When I was playing Fabio, I ambushed some Wolves of Orbros on and charged a Coven chick who was like on the far left with the UA and a regular guy and a regular guy in the back, right? And I power swelled for an additional die. So I decided to do a 2-man. Pow 11 Weapon Master in the butt. He was only camping one. I mean, he can only use one.
Yeah.
Right? But if you do the math, she's armor 13, so it's off 2. You're off 5 for the focus, so you're off 7, and she has 8 boxes. So I need to roll a 15 on 4 dice on 4 to dice. Kill her.
Which 14 is the average.
Yeah, so it's slightly above average or whatever, but it's still, it's just, I mean, for how fragile they look, yeah. they're not as fragile as you think.
Mark Mendoza, how viable is a Three Kings list other than looking intimidating?
What is a Three Kings list? Is that a theme?
I don't know. I thought, I'm like, I'll ask you the question and then you can tell me what it is.
I'm going to have to Google that because I honestly have no idea.
Three Kings list. Hmm.
Is that a style? Is he talking about a style list or is he talking about a theme?
Three Kings list. Three Kings. What would Three Kings? Oh, Three Kings. Mountain Kings?
Oh, okay.
Can you fit Three Kings? I guess.
What's the cheapest one?
I think 35. So you need 105 points.
You'd have to take a caster who's... What? Does that work out?
No, because I think you need a 35-point caster, right?
No, you need a 30-point caster.
30-point caster? So 30-point caster, you could do it and take it in theme, Power Dunia, and you get some free solos and stuff.
That sounds bad.
I'm going to say I don't think it's viable, sir, now that I figured out what
I
it
know,
is.
I know Dave played Double Glacier King yeah. a lot,
yeah,
and he was not particularly impressed with its effectiveness. Yeah. I mean, it was Mark II, but it's too many points and too few models. And you're going to have a rough time on scenario, and you're going to have a rough time.
Well, especially because scenarios are new now.
Yeah. Like, rough time into anybody who can kill one.
So there you go, Mark. Don't do it.
I mean, I think it's going to be, could be cute as hell, right?
But if you're taking like Doomy 3 and you're just like park, like run everything up turn 1, run everything up turn 2 feet, and be like, well, you're not killing anything.
I suppose.
And then the next turn you can maybe get to kill a bunch of stuff. I don't know.
I think it could be extremely problematic if he's got like lots of dudes and stuff, right? And there's not a lot of casters that have 30. There's Ragnar, Jarl, or sorry, Jarl.
Is there?
That's it for 30 points.
Oh yeah.
And you're certain about the point cost there?
I think the Glacier Kings are 35.
They are 35. So that's 90. That's 105. So you need 30 point.
But you also can only take two, and then you have to take.
Oh, right. They're fucking FA. So you have to take a Mountain King?
And then you have to take a Mountain King for one more point.
Then they have to be 31 points.
So probably not doable. Why are you making us do all this work,
unless Mark? Unless he knows something that doesn't seem to be possible.
Not happening.
Unless he's actually talking about a theme list that we're not aware of.
John Murray says, is it possible to be competitive in Trolls without a king?
Can you be competitive in Trolls with a king?
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, there's a whole bunch of other questions we got to ask there, John. Like, I do play Trolls. I'm not, that wasn't John Henry, it was John Murray.
Yeah.
John Henry Jr. loves his Trolls. He is,
he's good with
them.
He
only plays Trolls. He is good with them. But as good as he is with them, they're still not good enough.
Yeah. He relies heavily on Doomy 3, I think. Right. I don't know. I don't even know what his off list was. It like, say, SOO or something.
Might have been Gristle.
Or TGX.
He was assassinating with Gristle, I think.
Was he assassinating with him? Yeah, Dash is a thing, right? Yeah.
Knock down, like, top of two, and then blah, blah, blah.
Her fucking gun is crazy. It's totally crazy. But no, I can totally respect that, because once Trolls are done going through CID and stuff like that, he's going to be a monster with them, right? He's basically playing with one hand tied behind his back right now.
All right, I'm just going through to see if I... oh, there's a way to do all this. Look at that.
I don't have a cold. That's my allergies. Just need crazy to Indian summer going on with all the ragweed and shit.
All right. I think that was it. We covered it all. Yay.
We covered a lot there. I don't know if we're up to our 2000 bits and bobs or whatever you look to be at. But
I can actually watch this live as well. Just seeing if there's anything else that we missed.
Don't want anybody to feel left out.
No. Can't do that. Oh, Lionel's like, Greg is missing half his face. We should see more of Greg. He is a handsome guy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right, yeah.
Oh, when you go to X tonight, you have to check and see if he has any bog trog trawlers.
You have to message me because I'll forget.
You'll forget. I'll forget. I want some of those now.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Weren't you buying somebody, some off somebody, like Fabio or something?
No, he gave me a min unit of ambushers, which is fine. That's great. That's what I wanted. I may look and see if I can find like the blisters to make it up to a max at some point, but the trawlers are... They're 3-point ambushing solos.
You love the ambushing now.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You're like, I'm all about the ambushing. I will be when my bears come out.
Oh, yeah. I think ambushing is becoming more of a, especially with the scenarios, the way they are.
Oh, for sure.
And an ambushing solo on like spread the net or something like that, if they don't cover their flag.
I mean, even on boobs, I'm like, if you're trying to stay over to the side to stay away from the threats in the center, and all of a sudden you're like, ambushing, blah! You're just like, oh, God.
Well, I mean, a trawler's not going to kill much.
But it's the fact that you're there, you're bogged down.
I mean, Pagani...
I'm thinking about my bears, basically. Oh, the bears. Going to kill stuff.
You bears know? Can kill stuff, apparently.
Dead bears.
I don't know what... I mean, somebody mentioned about killing heavies with them or something.
No, that's people possible, are so bad at this
people
game.
People are the dumbs.
And they're like playing the CID, they're reporting their games. Like, oh, the bears are great. I came on the side and I killed two heavies. Like, what? Like, first of all, who let you do that? Like,
how badly damaged were they?
Yeah, like, give me a break. And then they got nerfed a little bit. I'm like, see
what you do? You have to say, no, they suck. They didn't completely obliterate my opponent's army like I want them to.
That's exactly it.
Somebody should go back and study the comments and the feedback on the Red Battle Engine and find out what the solution is.
What you have done. You have ruined this. It was good to see people complaining about it, though. It was funny. They're like, this thing's amazing. We're like, saying that. Nobody listens to me. Thank God nobody plays COC because a TEP is equally as annoying.
It is crazy good.
Oh, my God. All right, so news announcements. We can go over the OTC again. So dates you need to know. November 1st is registration. Go to the Facebook. And it'll have all the information there when I decide on how I'm going to do that. It'll probably be email or PayPal, because that's the way we've done it every year. But I do have the option of doing it on the website.
Yep.
That just costs me a little more money. So trying to figure that out.
Right.
I might actually do it on the website. It'd be fun to like just let it go. Because there is the odd team that sneaks it in at 9 or 8:59, they get the email
really?
In. Like, oh yeah, it's like it's, but maybe their clock's at 9, right?
Right.
I got the email pretty quick, so this way it would be like I get to set the actual live.
Yeah.
Like, go buy now. No, it'd just be funny because I can set 32, and then when it's sold out, it'll be like you missed out. So that'll happen. So that's November 1st registration.
Are you going to CaptainCon? I know you said you're running Muse, but you don't know if you're gonna.
I don't know yet.
I think I'm just going to do Captain Con, and then I'm just going to like drop Muse on Christine and be like,
"Just go." By the way, I'm going to go. Fuck it. Yeah. I might go to Captain Con too. I don't know.
It's hard for me to want to not go there.
Yeah, it's...
Have some fun shit.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll go to Capricorn.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get Dave to sleep in my room again, but...
Yeah. Well, if you bring your machine, is that better?
The machine's a lot better, yeah.
Yeah, then it'll be all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, what else we got to talk about? Tabletop gaming, that's not until July.
Yeah,
yeah, we don't got to worry about that. But just keep it in your...
I'm hoping the theme dump is soon. It's like
maybe it dumped right now, and we have like, oh, we got to record another one right now.
It is the 27th, so they did say by the end of the month. I mean, I'm not going to hold them to it, but that's just a few more days.
Yeah, maybe they wait till Friday so that everybody gets to play on the weekend.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Sooner is better.
Anything else we got to talk about? Mention?
No.
Man. No. Check out our Patreon, Party Foul.
Yep.
Go there. I think we're up to like $22 or something.
Hmm?
I think we're up to $22.
Woo! No, it's good. Any help we can get is good because
we're this, saving up for
this equipment costs money. Apparently,
yeah, this one's money. Whatever.
What are we saving up for?
I want to buy one of those digital clocks, so when we stream a game, the clock and the score shows up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the thing on the side. So
I got that.
That is the next thing that I would like to do. But I think those are like
four. I did see one of those at OTC. Wasn't somebody that was streaming had that set
up? Yeah, Moose Machine has one. Yeah. That's why I got to talk to them to find out where they got it from, because they have a guy that makes it for them. So
shit.
Yeah.
I know, it did look like quite the funny piece of machinery. It's this gigantic black box, and you're like, oh my God.
And then they got to teach me how to use it, because I'm like,
yeah. I think Dave played on it. You can ask him.
Yeah, I've seen it. You have to like hit a button to do this, and you know, it works a little differently.
Because you have to track your CPs on it, too.
Yeah, right? You can do that, too, and it all shows up on the stream, which is just cool. Like,
yeah. No, for sure. For sure it is. I think that's it. I think we're good. Are we trying to wait till we get to 2,000 bits and bobs or whatever? Is that what you're trying to do?
We're at 1997, so by the time we actually sign off, we'll be at the 2,000.
I thought we were already signing off. Come on.
No, I'm just I'm not editing any of this out, so people can listen to the ramble. If you made it all the way to here, then congratulations.
Yes. Oh, apparently my son is on Facebook now.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's not. Yeah. I've got to watch what I post and stuff, right?
Well, you can limit what he sees or something. Or
oh, man, this takes way too much work. I just went on his iPod and unfollowed myself on his Facebook.
That's perfect, because now he doesn't see anything you post. Yes. That's the whole thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so he has to physically type in your name to find you and then click on it and go through.
I mean, he got into it because he wanted to like become part of Nerf groups and stuff like that and share pictures of his Nerf guns and whatever. I guess that's okay, but...
What about, did you go on to your wife's thing and change it so she unfollows you?
Oh, I did that a long time ago. I got sick of hearing about it.
I love it. Good job. Thanks for everybody for tuning in on Facebook. We like to go live and interact with everybody as we do it. And
well, he's lying. We hate people.
Well, Greg forgot to take his happy pills today, so we had to like...
No, I did. I did.
We had to run out and pick them up.
Yeah, so I did.
You ran out.
They're just kicking in now.
Perfect. Greg's happy now, everybody. He's going to go write an article and then not be so mean.
I did write an article.
I know. It was good.
It was too good. People are going to like it, and they're not going to get upset.
I posted on Reddit, and I think there was still one like on it. Like, it wasn't like negative yet.
There was no doubt. Damn it.
Yeah.
Wait till Thursday. I'm doing Legion for my drunk caster review.
Oh, Legion. You're in for a good one.
For sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.